Beloved, today begins a 9-part weekly series on the Lord's Prayer. God grant us ears to hear his word, hearts to believe it, and mouths to pray to him. Each speech begins with an address. Every good letter begins by specifying the name of the one that you are writing to. And so the prayer of our Lord begins by calling out to the one to whom we pray. The Lord's Prayer begins with the address, Our Father who art in heaven. This address teaches us about three things. The word Father teaches us about adoption into God's family. The word Our teaches us about Christian unity. And the words who art in heaven teach us about our heavenly hope. Now the first word of this prayer is not actually Our. It is Father. In the original Greek, the word order is Father Our, not Our Father. And so in the Latin, it's Pater Noster, as well as in the German, Vater Unser. The first word also is not mother, nor is it parent. In a polytheistic world where the Roman overlords worshipped not just gods, but also goddesses, our Lord Jesus held fast to the truth that the true God is Father. This fact may not sit well with some people these days, but the truth is that we do not get to choose who God is. We do not choose God. God chooses us. That's part of what grace is all about. And so when Jesus teaches us to call God Father, that means that we are God's children. Luther explains this in the Small Catechism with these words. God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. So, as children of God, we are in a state of nobility. When we speak of God as our Father, we are speaking about our adoption into divine sonship. I'm saying that we have the status of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. Listen again to how Paul describes this in Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The word adoption in the Greek, huiothesia, includes the word son in it. It's literally placement as a son. That is to say, our adoption into God's family is the same thing as being in Christ. Now, part of being a father is loving your children, knowing them, teaching them, sometimes disciplining them as well, raising them, and also being present with them, and being loved and obeyed by them. All of that's involved with a fatherly relationship. A true father does not just create or procreate children and then provide for their sustenance from afar as if by means of a divine alimony check. So our Father means much more than just that God creates us. We are his adopted children. But why? Only because of God's natural, only begotten Son. God is appropriately our Father. Because although by transgressions you and I had become an enemy and a lost person, nevertheless Jesus died for you, and through holy baptism you have become a child of God. And therefore he who provides this grace to you is now freely confessed by you as Father. But we are not children of this Father in the same way as is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus our Lord was born of his substance, but he created us out of the earth. Yet by the grace of the only begotten Son, Jesus, we have the right to become adopted sons, and those who thus are born in the church of water and of the Holy Spirit are numbered among the children of God, and thus rightly call upon him as Father. The second word of the Lord's Prayer is actually our, not my. Why does our Lord teach us to pray our Father and not my Father? Well, it is a fine thing to pray my Father if you do understand it correctly. Nothing wrong with that. But our Lord here was trying to teach us something. The teacher of peace and the master of unity did not want us to be making our prayers singly and individually, as though I would just be praying for myself alone. Rather, our prayer should be public and common. And when we pray, even if we're praying individually and singly, we should be praying for others, praying in unity with others, praying not just for one person, but for the whole church. And so the God of peace and the teacher of concord who taught unity wanted each one of us to pray for us all, even as he himself prayed for us all. And so when we pray our Father, we are praying for others, not just for ourselves. And then we pray, who art in heaven. By saying this, our Lord makes a distinction between God and our earthly fathers. We have fathers on earth, and we Christians have a Father in heaven. And what does heaven mean? Heaven is not a geographical space up in the sky. You can't measure it. But Scripture calls the place where God lives heaven, and does so in order to show us a few things. Where God lives is separate from our world. Where God lives is above us human beings, is superior to us, and inaccessible for us. We cannot come there by our own power. Our Father who art in heaven. But after rising from the dead, our Lord Jesus himself ascended into heaven, showing that even though heaven is separate from our world, real human beings with real human bodies, corporeal, can go there and be in God's immediate presence. Our Lord Jesus is there right now with his risen human body. So there you have the address of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer teaches us that we are Christians. We are adopted children of God. And as a result, what St. Paul says is true. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, by saying that our Father is in heaven, he shows us that we are on a pilgrimage so long as we are here on earth. According to Psalm 119, verse 19, I am a sojourner on earth. So let us constantly lift up our soul to the heights and pursue the things which by God's grace cause us to enter into the happiness of eternal life. God your Father is pleased to give you this prayer and to put these words in your mouth. Amen.
Amen.